I trust that you heard his heart in that and his heart for what Christ is for us and how he mentions at the beginning that there is a work of Christ that is past, right? And then he doesn't just like stop working, but he's working now. And he's not retired. He's not just like sitting there like, oh, let me have all the glory for what I did back then. But he's actually working for us right now. And he says there's two ways, right, that he's working in intercession and advocacy. First, intercession. What does that mean? What does intercession mean? The Webster's or Merriam's or whatever you guys go to, Oxford Dictionary, says that it's a third-party mediator to mediate between differencing, and to reconcile the differences between two people. So it's somebody coming in and saying, okay, there's these two people that are having differences, and I'm going to come in and help solve these and reconcile them two together. So think of like a parent going to the teacher to mediate the differences between the teacher and the student, right? Or the athlete needing an agent to go between him and the franchise, the ownership, to kind of mediate on behalf of these two people, right? So that's what an interceding work is. Foreign governments do the same thing, right? So when there's two foreign parties that are going to be in conflict or at war, there might be a third government that comes and steps in and says, all right, let's reconcile these differences to not have war together. And Jesus does the same thing. He's constantly pointing back to the cross and to the resurrection to reconcile the differences between us and the Father. And so there's so many implications on that. Like that's just the head knowledge up here. But I think sometimes many of us in this room, we have the head knowledge, but it needs to sink down into the heart. What does that mean in our daily lives that he is actively right now at this moment at the right hand of the Father praying for you right now? We're sitting in this chair, you're listening to me, but Jesus right now is saying, I'm interceding on behalf of you who's sitting in that chair. That's what he's doing right now. So when we're weak in praying, when we feel like a failure in praying, he's praying for us. When we are cold and distant with him, he's praying for us. When we are beaten down by our sin and our temptation, our trials and our suffering, what's Jesus doing? He's praying for us. When we are walking in obedience, when we are fruitful, when we are faithful, he is praying for us. When we are weak, when you're strong, when you feel loved, when you feel unloved, Jesus is there praying for you. When you're experiencing pain or sorrow or joy or victory, Jesus is praying for you. What if you heard the next room over Jesus praying for you? You actually actively heard him audibly praying to the Father on your behalf. How does that comfort you in that moment? How does that give you peace in that moment when you're going through whatever you're going through to know that right now Jesus is praying for you, interceding for you? And I love how he points in that video, points out Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God, because he always makes intercession for you. He doesn't save to the most part, but that this promise says that there is nothing that you can do. There's nothing you have done, will do, or are doing that is beyond recovery. He saves to the places that we are most ashamed of, the places that we are most afraid of, places that we didn't even know that we had. He's saving to that uttermost. And why? Why does he do that? Because of his heart, gentle and lowly. Because of his love for us. Ortland says in the book that we cannot save our way, or sorry, we cannot sin our way out of his tender care. We will never be able to sin our way out of that. He'll always be there, making intercession for us. And the second thing, so that's intercession, but then he talks about advocacy. What's the difference then between intercession and advocacy? What do you guys think? Yeah. So, advocacy is which one? And intercession is what? I would say it's almost the other way around. Advocacy is when you're like fighting on behalf of this other party. So when you're an advocate, like in the court, what are you doing? You're representing somebody, and you're fighting on their behalf. Yeah.
1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one God, and one mediator between God and man, and Christ Jesus. So that's kind of the picture I get.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the picture I get when I think of intercessory. Right, so there's someone who's like, okay, there's two people that are at odds, and I'm going to come in between, and I'm going to get these two together on the same party, right? Advocacy is more like, okay, there's two people that are on different sides, and I'm going to go on this side and say, hey, I'm going to fight on their behalf. So it's actually going to that side and saying, hey, this person is right, and he's right in Jesus' eyes, it's because of what I've done. And so he's fighting on behalf of this party. Intercessory is more of a, it's not as like a cold, distant third party, but in terms of like, I'm going to try to bring these two together into this part here, but this is actually like, hey, an advocate, like those of you who work in like foster care, right? You guys are advocates for who? You're not advocating for the parents? Not really, right? You're fighting on behalf of like this child here, and you're like trying to like, hey, these people have value, and I want to love them, and so to the courts, like I want to fight on their behalf, right? You're not like, hey, going to the judge and being like, hey, we need to like go and condemn the child, or like trying to go in between here and try to like wrestle these two, but you're actually going there and saying, these people can't stand up on their own, right? This child can't represent themselves, so I have to represent them, and I have to fight for them. That's more of the picture of advocacy. And that, for me, that changes the mind totally of what it takes intercessory to a deeper level, right? It's like, man, it's not just that he wants both God and man to kind of come together, but he's actually going to come on my side, and he's going to fight for me. Even when I can't, because I can't. I'll never be able to do that. I can't fight for my own rights. So Jesus, and what kind of advocacy is this? Well, he mentions in the book several different adjectives for it, or qualifiers. One is that his advocacy is sufficient. It's a sufficient advocacy. There is no advocacy needed anywhere else or from anyone else, but he is sufficient to do it alone for you. You don't need another advocate. You don't need to advocate for yourself, but Jesus alone is sufficient for that. He says he is perfect. We just talked about to the uttermost, right? He's able to save. So Jesus is the perfect. There's not an area of advocacy that he doesn't cover. He is righteous in his advocacy. No charge of injustice can be placed on his advocacy. His advocacy is right because it is based on his completed work on the cross. His advocacy is always. It's not just back then. It's not just in the future. It's not just at different points, at different times. It is, he is always advocating for you. It's a continual for the rest of our days. It is present. It's a present advocacy. You don't have to, you have it at any time you want. In any moment you have this. No matter what is going on, you can ask for your advocate to advocate for you, and he is there. And it is personal. It's for you. He says in the book, he rises up and defends your cause based on the merits of his own sufferings and death. Your salvation is not merely a matter of saving formula, but of a saving person. That's who Jesus is. Do I have the PowerPoint? He says a quote in the book. He says, who is Jesus? In those moments of spiritual blankness, not who he is once you conquer that sin, but who is he in the midst of it? Jesus' heart is such that when he stands and speaks in our defense when we sin, not after we get it over it. In that sense, his advocacy is itself our conquering of it. That for me was impactful. Because I think, okay, once I get over that sin, once I've done it and it's in the past, now I can go to him and he can be my advocate. No, it's right there in that moment. When I'm angry, when I'm frustrated, when I'm impatient, in that moment, he is fighting on my behalf before the Father. In that moment. That is glorious. That puts self-righteousness in its place. That puts any sort of pride that I have in its place. And it gives me great comfort. This is why we don't need to advocate for ourselves, even though it's natural. This is why. Because we have a perfect advocate. Now imagine if no Christian advocated for themselves, but actually just ran to Jesus. Imagine what kind of testimony that would be to the world to say, I don't have to advocate for myself. And in a conflict with someone else, I don't have to advocate because I have him. I don't have to fight for my rights because I have him. Now this, you read this quote and you might seem, well, this sounds like hyper grace. You guys ever heard that before, that term? Hyper grace. It's It comes in through Romans 6. Well, should we sin that grace may abound? Right? If I always have an advocate, that he's in that moment right now pleading for my cause, well, then why don't I can just sin the rest of my days because I have an advocate. I don't have to clean myself up because he's going to clean me up. So why don't I just keep sinning? Is this what am I advocating a hyper grace? I would say no, but that's almost the natural question we need to ask ourselves when we approach this. And it's a natural question because it's a question that was constantly asked by Paul when he preached this message. Like I said, in Romans chapter 6, in Galatians, in all these epistles, he's having to defend. It doesn't mean like grace is so amazing, it's so insane, Jesus' love is so insane, it almost sounds like we can just go ahead and keep sinning. That's almost the level that I want us to understand the gospel. That it's like, well, I might as well sin. Yeah, you might as well sin because it's covered for, but don't do it, right? But don't do it. But have that mindset almost like where you're almost in danger of that. You're so overwhelmed with his grace. You're so have such an understanding of his advocacy in your life that you're just like, well, I might as well sin. Yeah, you might as well, but don't do it, right? His grace will cover to the uttermost in that moment, yes, right now. And it sounds insane. It sounds like, are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding. That's why grace is so amazing. Not just because he saved then, but he saves us now in this moment. Yeah, Caleb.
Yeah, so maybe I'm just a little bit confused.
Right. Yeah, for sure. That's what I said. Like, don't do it. By no means don't do it. But if you have this idea in your head that, like, man, grace is so amazing, it is so, like, utterly insane that Jesus is constantly advocating for me even there, like, even when I'm messed up, even right now in this moment, when I'm angry or when I'm doubting or whatever the sin that you're going through, in that moment, he is saving me. If you have the thought, like, well, I might as well sin, you've got the gospel. Now, at the same time, if you say, well, I might as well sin, and then you continue on that line and you continue sin, then meganoita, right? May it never be, absolutely not. But if you have that thought, yeah, you've got it. You've got the gospel, because it's that insane that you might as well. But don't do it. Please don't do it. You're not slaves to sin anymore. You're now, he goes on in Romans 6, right? You are now slaves of righteousness, right? So that obviously we're not going to walk in sin. But if you're thinking, well, no, sin isn't, or grace is not that amazing, until I clean myself up, then, you know, he's got it. That's kind of where I'm at, right? I'm kind of like getting us to realize what I'm trying to get us to, a position where I'm a hearer of Paul's gospel, where I'm almost at that point. Like, grace is so amazing, then why not? I might as well just sin. I think that we lose sight of that, where it's like, it is amazing once I clean myself up. Once I start walking in righteousness, then he's happy with me. He'll love you even if you're not walking in that way. It's a good question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's where the switch is. It's
right.
Understanding is, yeah, it's covered, but I don't want to.
Right, of course. Yeah, that's why I said you're no longer slaves of sin, right? You're slaves of righteousness. But as 1 John 2 says, not if you sin, but when you sin, right? Let's not deceive ourselves and realize that there's no sin in us. Let's just be honest in here. Who has sinned this morning? All right, so we're all on the same plane. Who desires to sin? All right, so we're all on the same level playing field. We don't desire to do it, but we're doing it, right? So what happens when we do it? Because we're all going to do it. We've all done it already today. So does that mean we have to, like, okay, let me quickly clean myself up and get my desires right, and then Jesus will be happy? No, like, I'm getting to that first step is when we do sin, right, what is our natural inclination? What's our first step? Is our first step to be like, okay, I need to walk in obedience, I need to get this right? Or is it when we do sin, do we say, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to remember I have that advocate? And he says, right, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. That's what it says previously. And he says, if anyone does, what is 1 John? Let me just turn there so I don't keep trying to paraphrase. Yeah, he says in verse 1, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Right? That's not our desire. That's not what we want. We don't want to do that. Right? But then he says, but when you do sin, we have an advocate with the righteous. We have an advocate in Jesus. And that's where I want our natural instinct to be, not, oh, I messed up, I gotta, like, you know, just gotta walk in obedience, I just gotta do this right, I gotta fix myself. I want our natural inclination to be, we got an advocate with Jesus, and he's got this, and he's fighting for me right now. So, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, advocate for me again on behalf of the Father, and then walk in obedience. For sure. But let's get the steps right. Step one and step two. Step one is to remember we have an advocate. And let that be the power and the motivation for us to walk now in obedience. Because of our love for him and his love for us. There is there's a quote from John Bunyan on pages 93 and 94 that I also want to read out. It's superb. He says, Christ gave for us the price of blood, but that is not all. Christ, as a captain, has conquered death and the grave for us, but that is not all. Christ, as a priest, intercedes for us in heaven, but that is not all. Sin is still in us and with us and mixes itself with whatever we do, whether we be doing religious or civil, for not only our prayers and our sermons and our hearings and preaching, but our houses, our shops, our trades, our beds are all polluted with sin. Nor does the devil, our night and day adversary, forbear to tell us of our bad deeds to the Father, urging that we might be forever be disinherited for this. But what should we do now? If we had not an advocate, yes. If we had not one who would plead, yes. If we had not one that could prevail and that would faithfully execute that office for us, why, we must die. But since we are rescued by him, let us, as to ourselves, lay hand upon our mouth and be silent. And silent in terms of wanting to advocate for ourselves, have self-advocacy, fight for our own rights. Let's put our hand over our mouth and be silent to say, okay, let Jesus do that beautiful work of advocating on my behalf, because I'm going to mess this up. If I try to advocate myself, I'm going to mess it up. Jesus will do it perfectly, always, sufficiently, presently, personally for you. Now that we've got all this head knowledge, right, of who Jesus is as our intercessor and as our advocate, and get it down into our hearts, like I said. And I'm going to ask you all to be honest with each other. And we're going to break out into small groups as we usually do. Be honest with our struggles. You've already admitted that you've had sin today. So let's just put off the veneer that we've got everything all put together in our lives, that we're all walking, we're messed up, right? We're broken people that need Jesus. So I'm going to ask you guys just to be real honest with each other. This is a safe place. I pray that our church is one of a safe place, right? All recognizing that we're messed up and that we need Jesus and we need each other to help walk in obedience, to help walk in his righteousness. So I'm going to ask some questions of you all to kind of get the conversation going. How does the reality that Jesus is interceding for us right now, how does that calm and assure you and also strengthen your prayer life? And I want you to tell of an instance where that reality has comforted you or could comfort you. Tell a moment in your life where his intercession has comforted you, or where it's like, I was going through a hard time and I completely ignored where Jesus' intercession worked, and I was trying to struggle through it with myself and I was miserable, or I went to somebody else and it just didn't help, where you could have used his intercessory work. Because we've all been there, right? At least I believe that you have, because, like I said, we're all broken. So what is that instance? And the second question, is there some way in your heart right now that you are defending yourself, which God is calling you to lay down and completely rest on the advocacy of Jesus on your behalf? Is there a way that you're trying to defend yourself? Is there a way that there's some part of you where you think Jesus can't save to the uttermost of this part? This part of me, there's not. Again, we all have it up here. Oh yeah, I know Jesus can save to the uttermost. But yet we're not walking in such a way where we are free people with joy, with just the liberating truth that is day by day. So, starting out with this question on intercession, and then you can transition to the advocacy part, and then please end in a time for prayer for one another. That would be my desire for you guys to, this. We can't do this on our own. We have to bring this before our advocate, our interceder. So let's learn from that. So break up into your small groups and use the material that we've used or that we've gone through.